John chapter 12, beginning at verse number 1, please. The Bible says, "Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone, against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always." Let's pray. Our Father, we come to you in prayer this morning, and we pray, dear Lord, that you would bless this service. We ask you today that your hand will be upon now the preaching of your word. And our Father, I pray today that whatever might be going on in people's lives and hearts, the Holy Spirit would see fit today to bless, to meet that need accordingly. Father, if there's someone here this morning without the Savior, without eternal life, may today be that very day that their eyes are opened and they pass from darkness into light. And now, Father, bless us at this hour, and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to entitle my message thought today, Another Mary Worth Mentioning. Another Mary Worth Mentioning. You know, all students of the Bible are aware of the fact that the name Mary is a name that's associated with more than one lady in the New Testament. We find the mention of Mary several times in the New Testament. For example, you have Mary, the mother of Jesus. Of course, we all know that. This lady is certainly worth noting. She's associated with the most important birth. Mary, the mother of Jesus. The most important birth. Then we think of another Mary who was Mary Magdalene. Then there's Mary of Bethany, which we see here in this recorded passage of Scripture. This lady is associated with brokenness. The other Mary that we mentioned was associated with birth, the birth. This lady is associated with brokenness. Then there's Mary, the mother of James, the less. And then there's Mary of Cleopas, which is in John chapter 19, verse number 25. But now this particular Mary that I want us to look at this morning is worth noting. I'm amazed at how the Bible picks out certain characters. And yet when it picks out certain characters, it highlights certain notable things in the lives of those characters that you and I can be refreshed by and can draw something from. This particular Mary is worth noting. Several things in this chapter, in fact, are worth noting. The activities of various people is worth noting. And here's what I mean by that. We see Martha, she's working. We see Lazarus, he's witnessing. We see Mary, she's, here in this passage, she's worshiping. We see the chief priests, they're exposed for their wickedness. So it's amazing what goes on in John chapter 12. We see the activities, the sentiments, the attitudes of different people that come to light. I think of the Lord Jesus. The events of this chapter, by the way, the events of this chapter would begin the week that's known as a Passion Week. What happens here is a beginning event that's a part of the Passion Week. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean Passion Week?" I'm talking about the week leading up to His cross work. I'm talking about the week leading up to where He would die upon that cross. This event is the beginning of the Passion Week. He had just raised Lazarus from the dead, and we know that He has given a dinner of honor in the house of one by the name of Simon, who was previously a leper, who has experienced His miraculous work in his life. So this event takes place in the home of a man by the name of Simon, who had been a leper, but he's no longer a leper because Jesus got to him, took care of his leprosy. So now Simon is is showing his appreciation by having the Savior in his home, and that's where this dinner takes place. Jesus is a guest of honor. Now, may I make a side point here? I believe that our lives, our church, our homes will always be blessed when Jesus Christ is a guest of honor. There always will be blessings from that. Jesus is a guest of honor. Now, that particular day, who happened to be there? The 12 disciples, Mary of Bethany, Martha, Lazarus, and the chief priests. And I suppose maybe we could put it like this. Lazarus is Exhibit A. I mean, he's Exhibit A. Why would I say that? Well, he'd been dead. Jesus got to his tomb, took care of the problem, called him out of the grave. Now we see Lazarus. He's coming from a tomb to the table. That says something. From a tomb to a table. That's what happened when God saved me. I came from a tomb to the table, seated at the Lord's table, rejoicing in God's goodness. Now let's look at this passage. And let's look at a few individuals, but let's really hone on the one whose name is Mary, and she's to be noted. But I'd say, first of all, let's look at Lazarus. His life was reassuring. Verse 9 of our text. Verse number 9. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. His life was reassuring. You say, in what way? Well, to see that man now, seated at the table, to see that man living after being dead, to see that man there exemplifying the miraculous miracle working of God in his life, you talking about reassuring. May I say this morning that when you look around you today and you look at a child of God, that's reassuring. It lets us know something. You know what it lets us know? It lets us know that God's in the saving business. It lets us know that God's working miracles. When I look at this church this morning and look in your faces, I find that reassuring. That tells me that I don't care how bad the times might be, God is still in the business of blessing people and doing a work in people's lives. Lazarus was reassuring. We look at Lazarus, we say, what a miracle. As I said, from a tomb to a table, wow. He had been dead. He's been called forth. He was released. He got cleaned up, and now he's at the table. And all of that is a clear-cut evidence of the Savior's miracle-working power, which is true of every soul that God saves. It's a reassuring. It says God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. We furthermore say, not only what a miracle when we look at Lazarus, we say what a ministry. What a ministry. Look at his testimony. He is a public example of what God had done. He's unashamed of the grace of God and of the power of God. You see, it's a ministry. And you know, when the Lord saved us, he put us all in a ministry. We're all now able to serve God. I'm afraid that's lost its luster. I'm afraid that's overlooked. I'm afraid that's not really considered as precious as maybe it was when God first saved us. I'm talking for myself. Lethargy sets in. We start getting used to things. It ought to thrill us just as much today as we were thrilled when God saved us. We ought to be as thrilled today and excited about being able to serve the Lord after serving the devil all those years. It ought to thrill us to be able to serve God. We should never get over it. Never get over it. We should never get over the wonder. What a ministry. We look at the religious crowd that day, the chief priests, and we say, what a mischief. What a mischief. They're blinded by religious prejudice. They cannot see beyond their religion. You know, they went, in fact, can you get over this? Can you believe this? They want Lazarus dead the second time. He's already died once. You think that's enough? They want to kill him again. Read the passage. Read the passage. They want Lazarus dead. I mean stone dead, if they can. Now, his change. You say, preacher, why do they want that man dead? Well, I'll tell you why they want him dead. Because his changed life rebukes their hypocrisy. It rebukes their insincerity. His testimony, his living, breathing testimony rebukes their corruption. And you know, every time you get around a Christian, that Christian's testimony in life ought to be rebuking. It ought to, you see, our presence in this world today ought to cause people to sit up and take notice. It really should. When you get around some old foul-mouthed cursing person that's just saying whatever comes natural. And by the way, somebody one time said, if we are prone to say what we think, we need to always think what we say, right? And when you get around people sometimes that blabber out all this old foolish stuff and this cursing and swearing and all of that, when they're in the presence of a Christian, that ought to cause them to take note. Because Christianity has a different venue, doesn't it? And so now, in the case here of Lazarus, his testimony rebuked their hypocrisy. Now how tragic that those chief priests can be in the presence of the one who is God and furthermore prove that he's a resurrection and the life by virtue of the fact that he's raised someone from the dead and will shortly die and be resurrected himself, and yet they can't see it. All they see is their religion. Just like today. Some people today, if the truth hits them in the face, you can't convince them. Why? Because they're prejudiced by their own religion. They're prejudiced by their own mindset. They're not willing to be taught. So in the case of Lazarus, I mean, what more evidence would you need? I mean, everybody in that little town, it wasn't a very, very big town, Bethany. You know, that town wasn't very big. Everybody would have known that, hey, God raised a man from the dead. And that man's living and breathing. And you'd think those religious people would have said, maybe there's something about what I got that isn't right. And maybe you would have thought, they would have said, there must be some legitimacy and some credibility to this one who claims to be God. But no. They stayed blinded by their prayer. They said, let's kill a man again. I believe that they'd, you know what, it's my opinion, if they'd killed Lazarus again, Jesus just said, he said, Lazarus, a second time, come forth. I'd see that happening. Because I'll tell you what, the devil's not going to trump what God does, is he? They are unconvinced by unbelievable facts. To listen to me, to live and to die in sin is a tragedy of itself. But to live and die in sin in the face of the reality of God is a tragedy that is a double tragedy. It's one thing to die in sin, but it's another thing to die in sin in the face of reality. That's where it's really bad. We look at Lazarus. We say, what a ministry. We look at Lazarus. We say, what a miracle. We look at Lazarus and consider what the chief priests are doing, and we say, what a mischief. But now, let's do this. Let's look at Martha. She's also mentioned. We look at Martha, and we see that her labor was rendered. Verse 2. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. Martha served. We recognize that her service was a service of gratitude, out of appreciation of what the Lord had done. We commend her service for the Lord. Her service is commendable. I don't think that we should be critical of Martha's service. We can say now Mary did the best thing because Mary was at his feet. But let's still thank God for Martha. Let's rejoice in the fact that Martha is still serving. You know, I've come to appreciate people when they serve, haven't you? I mean, some people, until we know people's motives, we ought to just be thankful to God when anybody's serving. So let's give Martha credit. She's serving. And I take it to be that Martha is appreciative of what the Lord has just done. She's raised her brother. She's glad she can do something. And I love to see a church like this when people love the Lord and just want to do something. Just want to get involved because they don't get over. They haven't gotten over what God's done. And that's a blessing. It's interesting to note something in this account. I see three postures that are assumed. on the part of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Now, what was it? In Martha, we see her standing. She's serving. She's using her hands. She's serving. In Mary, she's kneeling. She's at the feet of Christ worshiping. In the case of Lazarus, he's seated. He's seated. Pardon my English. He's seated at the table. Martha, as we can see here, she's standing. Mary is kneeling, and Lazarus is seated. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Three postures. We form a mental picture now. In my mind, I can somehow see Martha cumbered about with much serving. Now, could I make a point? When I see Martha serving that day, serving her Lord, doing those things, there's something that is noteworthy. While she's serving, keep this in mind, her Lord is seated at the table. Keep this in mind, she's standing above Him. She's standing above Him. Now there's a point here to be observed. I believe this is a point of caution. You see, sometimes in our service, if we're not careful, we fail to guard something that's important. Standing, now listen to me, standing and working can overshadow worship if we're not careful. Think about it. That day, who would you see? You'd see Martha Spacey. She's the one moving around. She's the one standing. You'd see her. Servers sometimes. Here's my point. Servers sometimes bring more attention to themselves than to their Lord. While we're busy, while we're serving, we've got to understand today that we never draw attention to ourselves. We draw our attention to the Lord. There's no amount of service any more important than the one that we represent. We cannot glory in what we do. We glory in the one that we serve. And in a church sometimes, and I've been around the block long enough to have seen this, there's some people that have served faithfully for many, many years in a church. They've done all kinds of different things, and they're to be commended, of course. But sometimes they become more proud of their service to the point where they lose sight of their Lord. Sometimes there's a possibility when you look at some people, you remember them more for their service than you remember the dear Lord that they represented while they served. It's not about us. It's not about what we're doing. It's about Christ and what He's done. We always must be careful to draw attention to Him. Many times in service, here's what we say, look at what I'm doing. To show you what I'm talking about today, here's my point. When you see servers in a church get to the place sometimes where they think that the church can't go on without them, or they think that their ministry is so important that the church can't make it without them, they're already off balance. Do you know there's not any one of us in this building any more important in terms of what we do than the other person? It's not about any one of us. It's about all of us. We've got to always keep that in mind. There are no big shots. We're a bunch of little old teeny shots all shooting together by God's help, aren't we? And there's no one in this church that ever assumes a position to where the church bows down before them and has an attitude, without them we can't make it. It's always about the Lord and it's not about us. In serving, she's busy, but she's seen above her Lord. And I say there's a note of caution. Be careful. We're not saying, look what I'm doing. But it's always, look what He's done. Remember, what we do for Him will never be more important than what He did for us. His work is to be magnified, not our work. We look at Lazarus. We say, what a miracle. What a ministry. We look at Martha. We say, what a worker. What a worker. We look at Mary, and this is a person we finalize our message talking about this morning. We look at Mary, we see that her love was real. Her love was real. Her love was extensive. Do you know, when you read this passage of Scripture, we find that Mary did what she was doing while being occupied with the death of Christ. She believed that her Lord, was about to die. She believed that her Lord would soon be dying. And she does what she does. She gives what she gives in light of His cross work. That is such a key point. You know, when you begin to do your math as far as understanding the economy of the time, do you know that she gave the equivalency of a year's wage? That's how it translates. When she opened an alabaster box and gave forth that precious ointment, she gave the equivalency of a year's wage. Well, I'll tell you something. That was a tremendous sacrifice. I think that maybe, I don't know for sure, but it would almost seem like she had in mind what David said. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. Her love was expressive. Expressive. As Mary opens that precious container of ointment and anoints her Lord's feet, she then proceeds to wipe His feet with her hair. And now you need to understand the context of the times. You know, Paul said something, didn't he, about a woman's long hair being her glory? Keep that thought in mind. I think what you actually have here is Mary is so much as saying that she will surrender the very thing to her Lord that represent her own glory. She literally laid her glory at His feet. Quite a thought. Quite a thought. Her love was expressive. Her love was effective. Expressive but effective. You say, in what way? The broken alabaster box sent a fragrance throughout the room that affected everybody in the room. Everybody in that room was effective. May I, as a word of testimony, tell you this morning that when God does a work in any person's heart and life, in a sense it sends out a precious, sweet odor or smell that's pleasant to people around. When you have a church and you have people that love the Lord and serve God, it's a precious fragrance that permeates the building. We're all blessed. And I tell you, there's another point here. When God can take us and break us and bring us to the end of ourselves, and we sacrifice ourselves to the Lord, then people around us are blessed. Christianity is never a private thing. But I'll tell you, the people around are blessed by a life that's dedicated, that's broken, as Mary's alabaster box. Everybody in that room that day sensed that sweet fragrance of that precious ointment that she gave to her Lord. As we give ourselves, our substance, our time to the Lord, people around us are blessed. That's so important to realize. So important. We have to wonder if she was familiar with the Song of Solomon that said, "While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof." The smell spread throughout the house. I think of Steve Green that wrote a song. And here's the lyrics. And I thought about that song this morning. One day a plain village woman, driven by love for her Lord, recklessly poured out a valuable essence, disregarding the storm. And once it was broken and spilled out, a fragrance filled all the room, like a prisoner released from his shackles, like a spirit set free from the tomb. Broken and spilled out, just for love of you, Jesus, my most precious treasure lavished on thee. Broken and spilled out, and poured at your feet in sweet abandon, let me be spilled out and used up for thee. There's a verse that comes to my mind The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You know, in serving God, it's not about our ability. It's not about how much we know. It's not about our talents. But it's about our loving our Lord. And our giving Him of ourselves. And our being broken before Him. And that, my friend, will result in the greatest blessing of people around us. It's not that a lot of people are short when it comes to knowing how to do different things. It's not about our ability, but it's about our surrendering ourselves to the Lord. Oh yes, when I think of Mary, I say, wow, what a person of sacrifice. What a person that gave her all. By the way, her years of wages meant nothing to her in light of the fact of her Lord's going to the cross. And that was her way of saying, even this year's wage still will not compensate, still is not nearly enough that I can give you, dear Lord, in light of what you've already done for me, in light of what you will do for me. My friend, stay focused on the cross and everything will be okay. It's all about that. Let's bow our heads in prayer.